This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield, crazy battlefield we call life these days. And I'm going to begin by, as I often do, reading a couple news articles, the headlines. So the first is, and as usual, these show the ongoing battle against God's people, especially in leadership, and how the enemy is using sexual sin to destroy lives. So the first headline, Pentecostal pastor steps aside after admitting an affair. This was the Reuters report. Second one, Life Church pastor steps aside after the presbytery rebukes him for sex tapes with his wife. So what this guy did was he made basically homegrown porn videos with his wife, and one side might say, well, this is his own private business, but the problem is that it went public, and I don't know that the video camera has any place in the bedroom of a Christian, and you're taking a risk that stuff's going to get out there, and it did. So he lost his position because of that. Next, Bethel, the ministry on the West Coast, suspends prophet accused of forcing an intern into bed with him. And I'll read from the article. Bethel church leader suspended its overseer prophetic ministry Sunday. By the way, these are all just in the last couple of weeks. Pending an investigation into allegations of clergy sexual abuse and sexual assault. Ben Armstrong admitted years ago to a moral failure, but last week a former student at the Bethel School of Ministry claimed that when she was his intern 16 years ago, he forced her into bed with him twice. So he's out. Another news headline. One in six UK adults reports seeing deepfake porn. This came from the Christian Institute in the United Kingdom. And so what it's basically saying is 15% of UK adults have seen artificially created pornography, AI-generated porn. But then the horrible thing is that it goes on to say that a bunch of kids have seen that too, and that the number of cases involving children, and they use the word nudifying other children, is rising. That's where you take a headshot and then put it on over a naked body. And this is horrifying. And so moms and dads, you got to be aware. This is going on. This is going on with your 10, your 11, your 12-year-old. Maybe, yeah, okay, maybe it's 15%, but if that's my kid, I'm not taking that risk. They need to know what's going on. And the surveys have shown for years that upwards of 70% of Christian men are viewing porn. But the numbers are even higher when you talk about youth. So moms and dads, you can't play ostrich with this. Next headline, Edmonton Church deacon. So this is Canada. Charged with sexual assault. Heartland News. The Edmonton Police Service has charged a 48-year-old with sexual assault and sexual interference. So another heartbreaking story of people who have been hurt, allegedly, and this person who did this. And then the last news headline, fewer than one in three churchgoers read the Bible daily. The Lifeway Research State of Discipleship study found biblical engagement to be one among eight signposts measuring distinct characteristics for believers progressing in their spiritual maturity. Among U.S. Protestant churchgoers, most say they read Scripture regularly, but just 31% say Bible reading is a daily habit. And first off, when we're reading the Bible, hopefully we're communing with God. We're not just getting a little theology and doctrine hit and then getting a little brain tickle and walking away. Hopefully when we're reading the Bible, like when I read it, I'll ask the Lord, please let your word soak into my mind, my heart, my emotions, my will. I don't want to just do a Bible study. I want to actually be with God when I'm reading his word. And so it's an encounter with God if our heart is in the right spot. But also today, there's lies everywhere. We're in a post-truth culture. And from, I mean, you go all the way to the top of government, all the way down, there is lies going on. They lie and then cover up. They don't even cover up anymore. They just spew stuff out. And a lot of people don't even, a lot of people just glazed over and not even paying attention or just don't care anymore because it's, oh, well, this is the way it is. But no, we have lost a sense of what is right and wrong and especially true in our culture, and that can bleed into our worldview and how we see everything. So we have to be in the Bible every single day. And part of the reason is that this is what counters all this lies and all this garbage. We have to know what the Bible says. We have to know the truth. And that's how you disarm the lies. So what I want to get into today is give you some tips for thriving in these days. And boy, you just look at the news and know that there's so much darkness, there's so much evil, there's so much wickedness on rampage, there's violence, especially in our country, the U.S., which is one of the most violent countries in the world. We had been averaging up to nearly two mass shootings a day. And a mass shooting is where more than four people get killed. And so, and darkness, the lies, the evil, and spiritual warfare. And so I just want to get into a few things to give you that can help you navigate the crazy. And so first, don't binge on the news. Just take little small sips. Because when you're sitting there and gorging on the news for half hour, an hour, or worse, 2 hours, you're really just dipping your mind and your soul in trauma. And we've gone from 120 years ago where it was maybe we catch the news, they catch the news, you know, every couple of days or something because the speed of communication was so slow, to instant 24/7 news cycle. And you can't just keep ingesting that stuff and not think that it will have an effect on you. And a lot of people who do that, they get angry, they get bitter, they get cynical. Maybe they're boiling in anger against whatever political party they don't like. And that's not good for the soul. So just take little, small sips. What I try to do is just grab a headline and maybe I'll grab one or two sentences in the article, but then I move on. I get the point. And I don't want to sit there and dwell on that stuff and immerse yourself in it. Next, turn off your phone. The average American will spend 5 hours a day on their phone. And all the research is coming out showing that this level of smartphone use causes depression, it causes anxiety, it's antisocial. And I know we're messaging people on social media, but that's still not a connection with another person. A connection with another person, a true one, is when we're sitting across from each other having coffee or just chatting or going out for a meal or having fun or whatever it is. And we have lost so much because the smartphone is just choking us out. So turn off your phone and spend time with family and friends. Make connections, true connections, face-to-face or phone connections are good too. Next, remember to rest. And this is a big one, I think, for a lot of you. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. The first two words say a lot. Be still. Stop striving. Stop running. Stop letting the world spin you out of control. Let everything go and get into God's presence and release it all to Him. And let Him have it all and quiet your heart, quiet your mind, quiet your emotions, and do this on a daily basis. So Psalm 131, I love this psalm. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. What an incredible picture of rest. Rest in the Lord from Psalm 37 and wait patiently. Resting, waiting, being still. There's no panic. There's no fear. There's no anxiety in that way of life. Jesus was never in a rush, which he had people all over him. He was never a rush, but he also, if you read through the Gospels, he was always going away alone to have time with the Father, and he would binge on prayer. Today, we binge on The Chosen, we'll binge on Christian TV movies, whatever, but binging on prayer for hours, well, that's kind of a lost art. And I think I've shared with you that in January, I went away alone with God for 3 straight days, and it was wonderful and life-giving. I try to do it once every 4 months or so as I can, and God just, it's amazing. He just pumps new life and energy and love and peace and joy into my heart every time I do that. And so I try and encourage and challenge Christians all the time. Get away alone with God. Get away from everything and disconnect and rest with Him. You need this so badly. Every believer does. And what happens, we go, 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 go. And then we wonder why we're just always feeling tired and worn out. So when you add up the news, spending a lot of time on the news, and 5 hours on your phone, and a lack of true connection, I'm talking heart-to-heart connection, that's a recipe for burnout. I didn't even add it up, the stresses of life that we all have to deal with. And all this technology is fun and great, and I love having maps show me where to go. Use it all the time, but it's not my God. It's not where I get my life. It's not my idol. And if I let it, it will take life. It will drain me. And the stress of life is very wearing. And part of the problem with all this productivity and technology is we can do more. We can do more. We can do more. And we have more and more leisure time than ever before. But it's, a lot of us aren't using it well. And one of the first things that's chucked is just rest and silence. Next, get out of the house. Turn your phone off and take a walk. Usually around 5:30 in the morning, I take our dog for a walk, sometime between 5:30 and 6. And it's just a really great time. The neighborhood is peaceful and quiet. I can see the mountains from where we live, and it's like sometimes with the sunrise, it's like, wow, God, you're just painting the sky this morning. It's just beautiful, and thank you, Lord. And I'm walking with Him and sometimes praising Him, sometimes just giving Him thanks. Thank you, God, for health, family, my wife, my kids. All the blessings. Thank you for being the blessing of being able to have a ministry like this. And thank you for forgiveness that came from the cross. Thank you for the power of the resurrection. Thank you for your word. So giving thanks lights up the brain. It's actually good for your brain chemistry. And that's the opposite of smartphones, which are detrimental to your dopamine-addicted brain chemistry. So giving thanks is a great antidote to technology. And just walking with God and seeing nature, it's healing for the soul, and we need that. Everyone needs that. Sometimes in the afternoons when the sun's out and, you know, we're in that time of the year where it can be gloomy, I just love sitting outside and just soaking in the sun and just enjoying it. Next, make prayer a priority, and a big one. And Luke 21:36, and Jesus is warning us, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So if you read Luke 21, if you read Matthew 24, if you read the book of Revelation, there are multiple warnings in there that he who endures to the end shall be saved. And we live in a time that is very draining of emotional energy, spiritual energy, and prayer. Do you remember that when the apostles were in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, what the one thing he gave them right before the most, probably one of the most titanic spiritual battles ever, right before the cross? Pray. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and oh my, don't I know that. There's some moments when my flesh is pining and wanting to go off in the wrong direction, and if I just sit there and do nothing and let it have its way and let it, it's like butterflies floating in the daisy field of my mind, then it won't be long until I'm at risk of some of those butterfly thoughts becoming a little stronger. And so we have to nip those in the bud and destroy them. And some of that, a lot of that is actually spiritual warfare, which goes back to what Jesus is saying here. Prayer, prayer, prayer. My flesh wants to go the wrong way. So does yours. My flesh would love to go to pride or lust or sensuality or judging or bitterness, resentment or critical spirit or whatever it is. Prayer is so key. And there's a lot of Christians and they know a lot of Bible, but their prayer life is missing in action or non-existent, or they think that firing off a couple of prayer flares in the morning, God be with me, my day is enough. It surely is not, and not today, not these days that are so dark. So we have to make prayer a priority. And what I love, if you walk through the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, but all the way through, there are a lot of prayers where David or whoever is asking God for strength. And Jesus told us, praying that you may have strength in Luke 21. Not doing a Bible study on it, praying for strength. And then Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the differences here is we're living in the power of the Spirit of the living God. And he is there. He is real. He is very alive. He is powerful. He's not just a casual observer. But we have to turn to him and we have to ask and we have to get focused on him. And especially instead of looking for strength in the wrong places, some people look for strength and I'm going to scroll for quite a while on social media, or I'm going to watch The Chosen and that'll make me feel good. Or that is not praying for strength. That's Christian entertainment. And I know people have said that, you know, it's ministry to or whatever, but prayer is the most powerful spiritual weapon we're giving, right next to God's word. Those top two disciplines should be at your top two, not watching TV. I don't care what it is. Prayer has got to be at the top. And I pray for strength all the time, and I ask my team to pray for me before I left the office to come here. And I'm still dealing with long COVID, 4 years into it. And sometimes the fatigue can hit me really hard. And then I'll pray, God, I need your strength right now. And so often he comes through. So the strength that he offers is very, very real, and make prayer a big priority in your life. And not only individual prayer in the prayer closet, but prayer meetings. And in many churches, the prayer meeting has been lost or buried underneath a host of other things. So I was looking at a church website from a big church recently, and I was hunting around and looking for a prayer meeting to see what I could find. I couldn't find it. You would think if a church says that they're devoted to prayer, teaching, and fellowship, that they're going to be lighting up prayer meetings. And it's not just going to be about the teaching and the worship alone. And the thing that always amazes me about Acts 2:42, you know, devoted to prayer, fellowship, teaching, is worship's not there, even though I'm sure they worship God. But the one time in the book of Acts that they worshiped was right after Paul and Silas got the poop kicked out of them. They got beat. They were thrown in prison, and then you see them singing. And I thought prayer, fellowship, teaching, shouldn't worship be in there? But what is God showing us? How every believer could be powerful if they devote themselves to those three things, and everything else goes below that. And speaking of that, next in our walk through how you can be effective during these times is be a part of a tribe. And what I mean by that is be a part of a group of believers. It doesn't have to be a big group, but 2, 3, 4 other believers who you're meeting with, who you're sharing your heart with, who you're sharing your weaknesses and your struggles with. This is so critical. There's been many times when I'm going through a tough time or going through warfare or whatever, and I fire off a text to my brother and say, hey, I'm going through this. Would you pray for me? And the same thing. I get prayer requests from my other friends. Would you pray for me? I'm going through this hard time. Pray for me. I'm going to the hospital. Whatever it is, we need this. There's way too many Lone Ranger Christians in the modern church, and I can say this with authority because when I speak at a Sunday morning church meeting and invite the believers to stand up if they're meeting with another believer, I mean, stand up, raise their hand, usually only about 15 to 20% put their hand up. And it's even, I did a pastor's conference back several years ago. I asked the pastor, it was all a bunch of pastors and ministry leaders in the room, and I asked them, put your hands up if you meet with another believer for support, encouragement, and prayer. And only maybe less than 10% of the hands went up. So we have isolated pastors grooming isolated believers. This is not good. It's why so many are so easily picked off and don't even realize the intense spiritual battle going on against them and the bondage they're in with sin. But if you're living in isolation, you're basically doing a flesh walk, and you're trying to do the Christian life on your own, and it does not work. And these days, you really need support. And I'll pause here for a moment. We have groups going on during the week. We have prayer meetings going on during the week for men and women. And so they're by Zoom, easy for you to get plugged in. And I encourage you, don't sit there and lay in the weeds on your own, especially during these days. And then next up, heal. If your heart, if you're hurting and you need help, don't sit there bleeding and wounded and hurting. Get help. It's like trying to walk with a broken leg. It's not going to work very well. I went through physical abuse and sexual abuse growing up. If I didn't have healing from those, I'd be a rage monster probably by now. Don't neglect your heart. Whatever your heart is telling you to do, do it. And finally, pour your life out. In Titus 3:14, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Don't waste your life. Retirement is death. We all need a purpose greater than ourselves. Do not waste your life. Pour it out. And so thank you for joining me, my friends. And I want to remind you, we're a 501c3 and we need the financial support these days. Last year was pretty tough. So if you believe in what we're doing, I ask you to consider funding us. So thank you for joining us, my friends, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.